Founded in 1991 by patients, the FSHD Society is the largest grassroots network of FSHD patients, their families, and research activists. The FSHD Society offers a community of support, news, and information for the millions of people affected by FSHD worldwide. This is FSHD Society Radio. Welcome, welcome one and all to the FSHD Society Radio Show. Yes, you're not going crazy, and yes, it is like noon Eastern, and I'm here on air live on Facebook and just wanted to welcome you all to another episode of FSHD Society Radio Show. Reason why we're here a little bit early today, well, quite a bit early, just trying to juggle my multiple worlds of baseball coaching and FSHD Society radio host and those kinds of things. And this seemed to blend well as it blends really well for our guests that we're going to have today, as we'll introduce them in about a minute. So I'm really excited to bring them both in. First, though, let's go with the contact. How do you want to get a hold of me? You can use the Facebook message board there that's live and open and ready to go. You can also email me, fshdradio@fshdsociety.org. And maybe after the interview, we'll open up the phone lines if you have questions for me or about the show, as we also want to kind of touch base a little bit on the big events that happened over the past weekend and Monday with the Connections Classroom and the VOP, or as I'll call it, the CC and the VOP, those that were part of those events. And maybe if you want to chat about that as well, we'll have time for that at the end of the show. And also, too, the question, right, what did you do this week? We can open up that, too, if you want to chime in with those comments. But either way, very happy you guys can be here today, as I'm excited to bring in these two great guests. They're from Dyne Therapeutics, and we welcome in now Molly and Ramesh. Hello, guys. How are you doing?
Good morning.
Doing great.
I think you both played vocal chicken right there. Who's gonna talk first?
Molly.
So, yeah, ladies first. Okay. Molly, if you want to introduce yourself a little bit, what you do at Dyne, and maybe even before your time at Dyne,
sure,
and kind of get people to know who they're listening to.
Happy to. And Tim, thanks for having us on. We're delighted. I'm a fan of your show, and it's a pleasure to get to participate. I'm Molly White. I'm VP of Advocacy and Medical Communications at Dyne Therapeutics. I joined in January 2020. Before that, I was actually the CEO of the Myotonic Dystrophy Foundation, which is the FSHD Society group for myotonic dystrophy. And I did that work for about 8 years, focusing on building support programs and resources for people living with myotonic dystrophy around the world, and also identifying opportunities in the drug development pipeline to accelerate therapy development for myotonic dystrophy. It was a great 8 years, and it really gave me a fantastic platform to jump into this job and work with advocacy groups in FSHD, Duchenne, and myotonic dystrophy around therapy development here at Dyne. And before that, I was actually in the corporate space doing foundation work and program development work as a community focused position, building programs in health and education, arts and education, environment and so forth for different companies, including Nike and Gap, Visa, and companies like that. And I started out in the arts, Tim. That's how we ended up.
Really? Okay.
So I got degrees in the arts. Yep. And I ended up starting out my professional career working in alternative art spaces, running exhibitions and whatnot in San Francisco. So as many people have asked me over the years, how did you ever end up in this job and what are your qualifications?
Yeah.
And the only thing I can say is I did a lot of program development work in health and health education in my corporate positions, and then obviously did a ton of work when I was at Myotonic. And that's my only defense.
So I guess that cues you up, Ramesh.
Absolutely.
He's far more qualified.
No. Thank you so much, Tim, for the invitation. Really happy to be here and talk to everyone, share a little bit about my background. I'm originally from India, moved here a while ago after finishing my undergrad and went to school at Duke University and got a PhD in pharmacology from Emory down in Atlanta. And subsequently moved up to the Boston area to do a postdoctoral fellowship at the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. I was working a lot on cancer, oncology, therapeutics at that time. Subsequently got the bug to really go to industry and work on applied therapies for patients. Mm-hmm. And so I joined a startup at that time where we moved molecules out to a phase two in the clinic. And then I joined Pfizer, where I did a lot of work in the nucleic acid therapeutic space, both in metabolic and rare diseases. So it was a great experience at the company. And subsequently, unfortunately, they laid me off. So when one door closes, 100 others open. So we joined, worked at co-founded a startup called Rana Therapeutics with the current venture group that I'm working with, Atlas Venture, where we looked at ways to increase gene expression in a number of different rare diseases, including Duchenne and spinal muscular atrophy. After that, we built out Rana, and it metamorphed into a slightly different company using messenger RNA for therapeutics. I joined Alexion, which is a rare disease company looking at complement-mediated diseases. And I was tasked with building out the nucleic acid therapeutic space. That's my background. And worked at the company to build a great team and look at messenger RNA and antisense oligonucleotide therapeutics for rare diseases. Fantastic team environment there, but then the opportunity came to work on muscle disease and start a company in that space. I love the space of muscle diseases. I do think it was a very high unmet need where therapies were made. And if they got to the muscle by chance, they were used. And we really felt, me and the co-founder Jason Rose at Atlas, that we had an opportunity to explore the muscle space with different technologies. And so we co-founded Dyne Therapeutics at that time. So this is about 2.5 years ago. And we explored a number of ways to deliver medicine very specifically to the muscle. And we built out our technology over the last 2 years and validated it in preclinical models. And currently, I'm the chief scientific officer and founder of Dyne Therapeutics. Very excited to work with the FSHD community and hope to potentially bring a drug to market and help everyone.
Yeah, because you definitely got on our radar, those in the FSHD society, or I should say even just the community, not those necessarily working at the office and on the front lines, but when it was released that, you know, the post said, Dyne ramps up its FSHD program. So right away, people are like, well, who's Dyne and what's that about? And that's exciting. It felt like we were getting yet another tool in our toolbox. Getting recognized, getting more support. And I guess it sounds like, and maybe I'm wrong, when you're talking about, you know, sending the medicines right into the muscle, then did it just kind of gradually or organically then just, hey, we can help FSHD because of that's that kind of disease, that's that kind of issue? Or was it something that you sought out and went like, hey, this is FSHD, what can we do about that?
Yes, we did know that there were a number of muscle diseases that were not treated effectively, and there is a need for the community. And when we prioritized the diseases, FSHD was one of the top three in our list. So we are working on FSHD, Duchenne's muscular dystrophy, as well as myotonic dystrophy. Got it. As you see, these are all muscle diseases of skeletal, cardiac, and smooth muscle. So we wanted to find a technology that actually addresses these tissues. And that's what drove us to founding the company and investing in these technologies.
So when you talked about their
go
ahead, Molly.
Well, I was just going to say, Tim, as you know, one of the problems with a lot of companies are using antisense oligonucleotides or ASOs to target muscle diseases like FSHD. And the dilemma has been trying to get these largish molecules into the muscle cells to do the work, right? And I think where I got really excited about Dyne, because I was working with about 45 different companies when I was at Myotonic. And one of the reasons I got super excited about Dyne was because the data looked so strong and because they had come up with, and I can now say we had come up with, a specific strategy to get that molecule, that really effective muscle, molecule into muscle cells and into cell nuclei. And it really has to do with the platform, which includes a linker and an antibody that literally knocks on the door of the cell, gets a very friendly invitation to come in, and then actually gets into the cell itself. And that's been the trick, obviously, with antisense oligonucleotides and muscle diseases. So it was something I was super excited about when I was at Myotonic, and I think it's going to be a huge opportunity in the FSHD space. That's certainly what we're hoping.
We're talking with Molly and Ramesh from the Dyne Therapeutics. Those are just tuning in now on Facebook Live. If you have questions for them as we go along, go ahead and use the message board, or if you want to send me an email at fshdradio@fshdsociety.org. But the chat room is the best, so everyone is able to send us questions if you have some. Jeffrey Statland was also mentioned in that article. Can you guys talk about that connection there?
Sure. So well, let me go first.
Yeah, go ahead.
As we think about our progress in FSHD, we want to make sure that we have the best mind with us to guide us and help us along the way. And Jeff is certainly one of the top leaders in the field. And so we are very fortunate to have Jeff join our scientific advisory board and agree on working with us to advance these medicines for patients. And we're building an FSHD-specific advisory committee as well to engage with the thinking in the field and help us bring a therapy to patients. So we are so glad to have Jeff Statland working with us on a therapy for FSHD. Molly?
Yeah, and I would add, so I worked with Jeff a lot in the DM1 space as well. And as you guys know, Jeff is obviously a leader on the RESOLVE study, which is the first really significant longitudinal study of FSHD disease progression that's been conducted. And Dyne has become a sponsor and a supporter and a funder of that study as well. So it's a great opportunity for us to help support research and the capture of additional longitudinal information on the disease, and also get to work with somebody who's just a superb clinician and researcher, just a terrific human being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the name is recognizable, and obviously what you guys are trying to accomplish here, it's tricky. I mean, I'm not a scientist. So when Ramesh and you guys are talking about, ASO and this and that, it comes off of your tongue so well. And I would be like, hang on, I need my dictionary or some type of thing to explain this to me. I guess in like the basic scale, getting medicines there using terms ASO, if you had to like scale it down in a very basic, simple, as you can get in this world of what you're trying to accomplish, is there a way to do that?
Yes, so I can take a stab.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, like how does this look like in a practical sense, I guess? Like, are we sticking a needle in somebody, or what's like your end goal and what you're trying to accomplish? Maybe that helps.
Sure. So when we refer to ASO or antisense oligonucleotide, we're referring to a short stretch of a DNA or RNA that we're using in the medicine. So this would be like anywhere from 15 to 25 bases long. Right? So it's short stretch. So these are good medicines. They're rational medicines that are designed, and people in the past have injected it either intravenously or just below the skin subcutaneously, and they have worked to a certain degree. But not much of that medicine has been able to get to muscle cells. So in FSHD, the problem lies within the muscle cells. So how do we get these great medicines specifically to the muscle cell? Mm-hmm. And that's where our technology comes in play. Mm-hmm. So what we have done is linked that small strand of ASO, so 15 to 25 bases, to an antibody. Mm-hmm. So antibodies that we generate to various kind of responses, these are antibodies that bind the particular receptor that's on the muscle cell. So it's essentially just kind of a homing device or a shuttle to take the medicine to the muscle. Hope you're following, Tim.
I am.
And the antibody binds to these receptors on the muscle cell and it gets into the cell that way. And then it delivers your payload, which is your medicine, into the muscle cell. Now the medicine is free to do its work. But by using this technology, what we're doing is using very low doses of the medicine and delivering it specifically to the target of disease, right? The muscle cell where the disease exists. So this way, we believe we can dose infrequently. It will be an IV drug, so injected intravenously by the physician. And we are hoping to get very significant changes in muscle strength and function over time with repeated dosing. Hmm. So that way, that's kind of the crux of the matter. Mm-hmm. So we are taking very well-known medicines and delivering it at low doses to the muscle cell. And that's, in its basic form, the essence of our technology.
That was very well explained. I had it almost envisioned as in a transport device to get the medicine where it has to go to get the best effectiveness, it sounds to me. Am I translating that explanation well enough?
Absolutely. You got it. You got it.
Good. Okay. Good. The other thing then that kind of popped in my head when you were discussing that explanation was, if FSHD affects people so differently, you know, for me, you know, I don't think I have a severe, I don't want to say case of it, or at least it's not affecting me severely right now, where people that are younger than me are drastically more affected. People that are older than me are maybe even less affected. So, you know what I mean? There's so many different, takes on the disease or responses, I guess. So is that going to affect how this process works? As in, if you can get the medicine to certain people, does that mean you have to change any doses or the science behind it because it affects people so differently?
No, we do believe that across the spectrum of FSHD, we can use the same medicine. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe the doses are going to be different. As you know, in FSHD, we want to understand the progression of disease, which is why we are, along with other companies, participating in the natural history study that Molly referred to earlier, where Jeff Statland and Ravi Sawil from the University of Rochester are investigators. We do want to understand what is that progression of disease in FSHD. It's critical for us to understand when to intervene, and also what would be those endpoints that we would like to measure from these patients, correct? Is it range of motion, the functional change in ability to use facial muscles? So we want to understand that from the natural history. There is some work done. We need to do some more. And the engagement of patients in the natural history study has been super helpful. As we understand that, we will know exactly dose regimen. Same or right dose for patients at different stages of disease. But we don't think it will be a different medicine for different stages. It will be the same medicine, and we should be able to, depending on the severity of the disease, provide benefit.
So then that, I think now I kind of direct then a question towards Molly when you're talking about, you know, that study. I know, Molly, when you and I talked for the very first time, I was introduced to you through Jun Kinoshita, who sent me a message saying that you were looking to talk to people with the disease, almost get the person within the cells, right? Not just the science. Let's talk to the people. Is that accurate with where your mission is within Dyne?
Yeah. And I mean, it's also kind of where my heart is too, right? One of the things I love the most about working at Myotonic was getting to know the community of people that live with the disease, getting to know the subject matter experts, the researchers and the clinicians that work on the disease, and even the folks in industry and in the regulatory environment, everybody that's working on reviewing and approving these therapies. I mean, there's some really, you don't get into this work primarily because you're trying to make a lot of money. You get into this work because it has a mission-driven element that's compelling. And I have had, you know, thanks to June and the folks at FSHD Society, who I worked with even when I was at Myotonic, I've had some fantastic conversations with folks in the FSHD community. And we included some of them, as you know, on the fireside chat that we did via Zoom to help celebrate World FSHD Day and bring more visibility to the disease and efforts to bring therapies to patients. And I, in fact, was just over, I was telling you earlier, I was over at Howard Chabner's house this morning, or actually Monday, to do a photography shoot. We're going to be creating an FSHD page for our website to help bring some more visibility and understanding around the disease itself and what people live with. And so we were shooting some pictures of Howard. And as you guys know, Howard is on the board of FSHD Society and just a fantastic human being. But, you know, when I worked at Myotonic, my chairman used to talk about emotional blackmail. And the idea was that we were going to introduce people in industry to people living with these different diseases, in this case, myotonic dystrophy. And they were going to, as we have, you know, really become incredibly connected to these people, understand what their disease burden and their life journey has been like, understand what they live with every day, and then be incredibly motivated to get therapies to these people sooner than later. And it works like a charm, I have to tell you, because you meet people, you know, you meet people in these communities. And the thing about living with these diseases that has struck me is that some of the stuff that the rest of us might complain about on a daily basis just doesn't hit the target. There's other things to worry about. And I think when you learn how to live with these diseases and you learn how to become part of the solution and you take all that in, you know, there's just some really incredibly inspirational and powerful people, really brave and inspirational people living in these communities. And they are such a delight to get to work with. And it's such an honor to get to work with them. And I told Howard, you know, as soon as we get to take these masks off and go to dinner, I'm really looking forward to going to dinner with you and Michelle. And we will, because he lives in San Francisco. So yeah, I've met with some really fantastic people and had some really great conversations. They've helped us identify, you know, what the most important endpoints and biomarkers would be for a trial. They've helped us understand what a clinically meaningful benefit would be for a therapy so we can have those conversations with regulators. I've put together what we call our disease burden patient journey reports for each of our diseases, and they're pretty comprehensive. And they're a way to make sure that everybody in the company understands what this disease looks like to live it, as opposed to what it looks like in a petri dish or under a microscope. And those all get presented to everybody on the team, and then they're part of the new hire packet. So having conversations with folks that I met through June has also been super helpful in making sure that we understand this this disease in a comprehensive way. And then, and that's, of course, how I met you. And that was one of the funnest conversations I had, was just chatting about, nice, you know, your life and your work and your experience. So I would say, yeah, I probably have one of the best jobs at Dyne. And I think my work in the advocacy arena has been one of the great honors and joys in my life, just because it's hard not to get caught up in and really motivated by the opportunity to have some impact on something that's a pretty miserable experience.
That's very kind words. Thanks for saying you enjoyed the conversation you had with me.
Oh, for sure. I did.
It was fun to talk. I always get humbled and flattered when people want to talk about it for the sake of it's either research or trying to gather some information. They asked me to be a part of the voice of the patient and call in and this and that. Because I know I'm just a small voice, so I want to try to be loud enough that I am a combined voice. I think kind of using this show as well for that. So I know that everyone in the FSHD Society and in the community of those that have this, along with family members, caregivers, spouses, partners, et cetera, that are living right alongside someone that has this, that we appreciate all the hard work you guys are doing and making that personal connection that you're doing, Molly, not just saying, hey, these are cells and this is the science. And that is a huge help, of course, because as we just found out, I'm always trying to figure out how this all works. And Ramesh explained it so well. And so I've helped with that now in my own mind. Now if someone wants to ask me a more scientific question of this disease, I can now answer it with Ramesh's answer. So then that redirects me now back to Ramesh with a question for you, or maybe for Molly as well, I guess, on this one is kind of a simple question, but maybe a tough answer. What's the biggest challenge that you guys are facing right now, would you feel like? It feels like a job interview, right? What's your biggest challenge?
Ramesh, are you first? Did we lose Ramesh? I would say, and this is from the perspective of somebody who worked really hard on the drug development pipeline at Myotonic.
Yeah.
And it was super interesting for me to jump from the advocacy space where I was really focused on figuring out what the barriers were to drug development and how to get more industry people involved in drug development. And, when I started at Myotonic, we had one industry member. When I left, we had 45. It was super clear from an intellectual perspective that we needed more endpoint information. We needed more biomarkers. We needed to have an organized patient population. We needed to have prevalence information. We needed care guidelines so we had a standard of care and there wasn't so much noise in the population when you tried to give people therapy, all of those things, right? Mm-hmm. But when I came to Dyne, it became super clear how really critical that information is. If you don't have published data on all of these things, on endpoints that the FDA will accept as validated endpoints for clinical trials, if you don't have biomarkers that have been published that work to show whether a drug is hitting a target or not, and whether there's any functional change as a result, if you don't have good longitudinal data on how diseases progress over time, it's really hard to design trials. World is to have a therapy that could work and not have enough information to put together a trial that can succeed if the therapy is succeeding. And it is absolutely true that there have been plenty of cases where a therapy is working, it's having functional benefit, but because the trial was designed with a different endpoint or a different outcome measure that the FDA is looking at, the trial fails and the drug does not go forward because the design information wasn't there to put the right trial together. Mm-hmm. And that's really where patient advocacy organizations and patient communities have an enormous role to play in signing up for these studies, getting involved in registries, sharing their information, sharing their data, because then, people like Jeff and Robbie Tawil and others can publish, we can get our mitts on that information and we can put the best possible clinical trials together. And I knew that intellectually when I was at Myotonic. I can really see it now that I'm at Dyne, and huge kudos to FSHD Society and Friends of FSH Research, because they're really working hard to try to get this information pulled together. It can't happen fast enough.
Tell us a little bit about that. Go ahead, Ramesh. Yeah.
Yeah. I would second what Molly just said. Mm-hmm. That seems to be the biggest gap for us because there's not consistent data on disease progression and clinical endpoints and how variable those assays are. So we can power the right clinical study to test our medicines, and others can test their medicines as well. because what all of us want to do, right? The reason I got into science, and I think everyone gets into science, is the ability to, or the chance to help the fellow human being. So we want to have the best data before we put it into the clinic, into patients, and give it the best chance to be helpful. And this natural history study, the data that comes out of it, is crucial for all companies in the space in FSHD, including Dyne, to run the best study with the most optimized molecule and give it the best chance of success for patients.
So then it leads to my next question is about that, the clinical studies. How important is that, you know, then for people to get involved, people in this FSHD community? We're always asking or promoting people to sign up to be a part of it. What's your take on that for those that are maybe on the fence? They're not sure if they want to participate or not.
I'll go first. It's absolutely critical. And when I was at Myotonic, we launched a registry and we did everything we could. We had giveaways, we had promotions, we did everything we could to get people to go in and actually sign up and get their information in there. And you cannot pull research information together. You can't understand a disease the way we need to understand it to design the right therapeutic if you don't have that information. And, you know, I think it's illustrated by the fact that when you look at what the FDA, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration has been doing around understanding how to review and approve therapies, their whole push in the last few years has been patient-focused drug development, which of course led to the PFDD meeting that you all had on Monday, which was excellent. That is how they start to think about, is this drug meaningful? Is it targeting things that make a difference for patients? Is it going to have the kind of impact that's going to justify bringing it to market? And the only way you can get that information is to get the voice of the patient involved. And it hasn't been a focus in the past. And I think it's been a reason that trials have failed. And it's also been a reason why therapies that maybe have minimal to no benefit actually get to market and really don't add much value for patients. Getting a patient organization, getting patients organized into registries, being able to locate them and reach out to them when there are studies and trials available, having validated endpoints and biomarkers that have input from patients around their disease experience is incredibly critical. And there's no other way to really say it than everybody that's in the community that wants to be part of the solution has a huge opportunity to do that. And it's by getting involved in these registries, getting involved in studies that are being conducted, making sure you're part of the RESOLVE study if you have a way to do that, and staying involved with, you know, Friends of FSH Research and FSHD Society so that when these clinical trials open up, you can sign up.
Mm-hmm. Ramesh, any?
Yes, I couldn't second that more mm-hmm. Tim. I'm sorry. Molly said it really well. It's critical for the patients to be involved in the natural history study to build up the database of knowledge and ultimately in the clinical trial to participate vociferously, mm-hmm. right? Because we understand there are differences in progression and flares and FSHD, and we need to get a better handle on how to treat, when to treat, and what are those final endpoints. So participation in the clinical trial is going to help us get our medicine to FSHD patients sooner.
Yeah. And, you know, it's all about speed, right? Like mm-hmm. the sooner we can get the data, the sooner we can get people signed up, the sooner people enroll in these studies, the sooner we can get the publications out. And, you know, to be honest, when I would talk to people in industry back in my other job about, you know, what if you look at this disease right now, what are the reasons that you are not investing in this disease? And they would cite, well, you know, we don't know where the patients are, or we don't have a solid understanding of prevalence, like how many people actually are living with it, or we really don't understand what the burden looks like because it's a slow progressing muscle disease and it's variable, and we just don't know. There's too much risk for us to invest $500 million to $1 billion. There's not enough information out there now for us to go there. But if we look at Duchenne, if we look at ALS, if we look at some of these other diseases where there's a ton of work that's been done, it lowers the bar in terms of investment. And that was the signal for me to say, okay, we got to really turn on the data collection piece, because what we have to do is be able to show drug developers that we're the prettiest girl at the dance. And I think that's something that FSHD Society and others are doing right now. And it's making a huge difference, because I know from looking over the history of this disease, there's been a lot of uptick in drug development activity and some really promising stuff going on, which is exactly what you want, right?
Right. Absolutely. That's exactly what we want. And you're right. I think that's also why, you know, I remember as a child, it's like stuck in my head long before I was diagnosed, but obviously I had this then, just didn't realize it, was watching the MDA telethons. You know, it was like a routine thing. And they had, you know, the, if you want to call it the National Advocate, was 1 year, I think in the 80s, was a very young boy. He might have only been, you know, 12 years old or something. And he was a national poster person for it at the time. And he was right from my hometown. So that really hit close to home.
Wow.
And now just a short walk away is a baseball field named after him. He's passed away just over the last couple of years from his disease. But for that connection, for me to go, wow, you know, I recognize him from that all those years ago and knew his name because they put it out in front. They did kind of what we're doing here, what you guys are doing, and saying, yeah, I kind of liked your term there, Molly, kind of saying, this is the prettiest girl at the dance, you know, take a look, yeah, and kind of be recognized, you know, kind of be recognized.
Yep.
Can you talk a little bit about that? Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead. I want you to finish your thought.
Well, I was going to say, that's why we put out that call for statements and videos from people in the community, and we posted all of those short comments and short videos on our social media. We had 20 posts during World FSHD Week. And I think it really, really resonated with the team at Dyne and with people that read those posts, because they were such eloquent and moving and charming and sometimes even funny comments from the community about what they're living with and what they'd really like to be able to do if there was a transformative therapy that could improve their functional ability, right? And I mean, you can't read those and not have a whole different perspective on the disease. And I think that's really where, you know, we have a role to play in terms of really partnering with you all, with and with the rest of the community, to make sure that we continue to talk about and give a voice to these different community members that are willing to share their stories and create a bigger picture of what it looks like to live with these diseases and how we can have some impact.
One of the final questions I have here for you is I know people listening and those that will listen to the podcast episode, you know, later on might have this question of, because it seems it's always on people's minds that are suffering with the disease, you know, timeline, and they want to know dates and this and that. I don't want to ask you specific dates or anything like that. I guess I just want to kind of ask you a general question, then you fill in whatever you're able to, and that is, do you feel confident with your timeline pace? Do you guys feel like things are going well in the direction, in the hopes to hit the marks that you need to hit?
Yeah, so let me take that first. So we are very pleased that we are taking all the steps to validate our platform. Mm-hmm. And the data coming through for some of our disease models are in showing us that we're modifying disease. So it's very reassuring to see it. And we share the urgency of the patient community, right, to get a drug to market as soon as they can to help the patients. And so far, we're very comfortable with what we're doing. That doesn't mean we sit comfortable. We are definitely striving hard, and people are working nights and days and weekends to get this to clinic as soon as possible. But we all do it as a team. Mm-hmm. Molly's a fantastic addition. The FSHD community and what we had on FSHD Day was phenomenal to, you know, motivate us on those dark hours of the night when we're kind of getting sleepy, and to continue reading and experimenting. And we believe from what the work we have done that we're hitting all the right marks to advance it to a meaningful therapy to clinic.
Well, I guess
the thing I would add, the only thing I would add is, you know, after we did our first fireside chat, which was on Rare Disease Day, in late February, you know, we introduced the point of those fireside chats is to really introduce the team at Dyne to people that are living with these diseases. And ever since that day, our CEO, Josh, has been waking up with, I got to work faster for Joachim. You know, I'm not doing enough for Joachim. We got to do more for Joachim. And I think that's the underlying kind of urgent vibe that happens at Dyne. People know these communities now. They know, they've met people and they've talked with people that are living with these diseases. And when they think about the work that they're doing it for, you know, your community. They're doing it for specific people in your community and for everybody in the community. And, you know, we're going to actually have the research team meet with another FSHD community member, Russell Caratenuto, who, as you probably know, is a lovely, lovely guy living with FSHD in his very early 20s, just graduated and is going to medical school in the fall and has been doing undergraduate research in FSHD and plans to be an FSHD clinician and researcher helping other people in the community. So massive shout out to Russell, who we think is a fantastic guy. But we're looking forward to chatting with him in mid-July about research and what he's been doing and, you know, pose some questions to him and share some information. Because I think it just continues to build that connection and that sense of urgency. And just to echo what Ramesh said, I mean, we're working as fast as we can because it's personal, you know, we've made it personal and it is personal. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally feel that. Absolutely. And I know that's echoed through all those listening or watching in this case too, that you are in our corner. And if there's anything we can do as a community to help keep you guys going, energize you, use us, whatever you need, always, you know, let us know. Just let us know. And we love the work that you guys are doing. It does mean a lot to all of us. And the fact you've taken the time to not just, you know, to not make it faceless, that you've taken the time to know us is huge positive, of course. So... And also, thank you for being here today, guys. I appreciate your time making this work in the middle of a day on a Wednesday. We thank you, Molly and Ramesh, for joining us.
I can't think of a
better way to spend it.
Yeah. Excellent. Take care, guys. Thanks again.
Thanks, Tim. Happy 4th of July.
You too. Bye-bye. Bye. So that was... a great interview. I had a lot of fun talking with Molly and Ramesh, and you can look up all their information on Dyne Therapeutics. An article that I was talking about was posted on fshdsociety.org. I'm sure a lot of you saw it. And I'm glad those that are watching could join us for this special time here. We kind of moved the show way up today, but I think we had some good listeners aboard. And we still have time to answer any of your questions. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a quick break, kind of reset. We can open up the phone line for you that are watching in. If you want to call, if you want to talk about either this interview that we just had or maybe some of your comments on the Connections Classroom or the voice of the patient that happened on Monday. And then after the break, we'll kind of go over those things and close up shop and talk about events and those things. So you're listening to the FSHD Society Radio Show.
Hi, my name is Allison Calder, and I have been the Utah Chapter Director and Walk and Roll Leader since January of 2019.
Hi, my name is Amy Beckier. I'm an FSHD Society board member for about, I think, 8 years now, and a chapter director in San Diego for 3.
Hi there, my name is Ann Babcock, and I am the Colorado Walk and Roll Coordinator, and I have been since January of this year.
My name is Amanda Hill, and I am the Director of the Colorado Chapter of the FSHD Society.
I'm Heloise Hoffman, and I'm Southwest Florida Chapter Director since August of 2019.
Hey guys, Jack Gerblick here. I'm the Atlanta Chapter Director. I started the chapter back in 2018.
My name is Kathy Senecal. I've been a chapter director since 2017.
Hi, I'm Mark Christman, director of the Western Pennsylvania chapter.
Hi,
My name is Minette Hale, and I am the Idaho Chapter Director and Idaho Walk and Roll Leader as of this year, January 2020.
Hi, I'm Rachel Sarton, and I'm excited to be a brand new Chapter Director here in Central Texas.
Hi everyone, my name is Taylor Quigg, and I am a 2020 Walk and Roll Coordinator with the FSHD Society.
These are some of the voices of our leaders, chapter directors, and walk and roll leaders. If you want to join the army of these advocates, visit fshdsociety.org. Because together, we can do this. Welcome back to the show, FSHD Society Radio Show, joining you here on a special time, middle of the day, a midday morning show, or yeah, I guess it's midday show, early afternoon radio show. That's our time this weekend. I'm really glad you could join me because we had a great guest, our guests on from Dyne Therapeutics, Molly White and Ramesh. I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do that. But you can find out more about Ramesh and Molly if you visit dyne-tx.com, which is Dyne Therapeutics' website. It's got a lot of great information on there. They are going to, put together a presence on their website for FSHD Society, or I'm sorry, FSHD patients, not just the society page. So that's going to be really cool to see as Molly continues to interview great people within our community. Speaking of other great people in our community, if you were listening to the ad there, we're talking about chapter leaders and those things. And in August, next month, on our main show, which will still be at the regularly scheduled time of 9 East, 8 Central p.m., on August 5th, we'll have Frank Hanley on from the South Carolina chapter. And he's going to talk about Qigong, which is a therapy he uses. And I thought it'd be interesting to have him on. He reached out to the show to be someone to be on the guest list, of course. So we added them, and we have more guests lining up, and we're actually booked on our main featured guest, which is the first episode of the first episode is the first Wednesday of every month, and that's going to be our featured guest episode. So we're actually booking all the way into October now and beyond, and we're hoping to get some reoccurring guests if we continue this weekly show format. So we're working hard on that to continue to fill the show with some good content for you. So be patient as we pivot, as they say, and change gears, right? And that's what we're trying to do. We welcome a lot of great people that are also watching on Facebook Live, but also those in the chat room. There is Ann Williams is in there, and Arthur is here, and now Sean Welsh has now chimed in, and he is shifting the conversation to a sports topic, which I might touch on in like a second, and I'll let you know what I think about that question, Sean, as we'll share that. So if you have questions or actually comments more about either about this interview or you want to share your thoughts about the Connection Classroom that just happened last weekend or the Voice of the Patient that happened this past Monday, you can call in if you'd like, 414-375-2561 or fshdradio@fshdsociety.org. You can send me an email. That inbox is open and waiting for you if you'd like to send something that way. I have it open right now. There we go. And we can leave that for you. So if you have something you want to share about those events that happened over the weekend, I'd love to hear your thoughts, how you enjoyed it, maybe your best speakers that you really liked, something you're hoping for. What did you think of the virtual experience of it all for those that partook in that? The only thing I can say for me is that I did take part in the Voice of the Patient on Monday. I was one of the callers because I was asked to, and I was very excited to do that. Felt very radio showish of the couple shows I've been on in my past, which isn't too many. And they did a great job on the tech side. So from one tech radio-ish kind of guy to another, it was really well done, I thought. And when I got on, I wanted to make sure that I sent the emotions of how I feel about this disease shining through. I have a tough time with the guests that we bring on that talk about the science because I have a tough time wrapping my head around it. And I think today Romesh explained it beautifully. But I liked the combination of the guests we had on, where one was bringing the science, DNA, therapeutic side to it, and then Molly brings in this is the face of this. You are the people that have this. So I thought it was a beautiful blend of the two sides of what I always seem to always talk about on this show that we touch on regularly. And for me, I get very, very emotional heavy, as in that's what I carry. My burden is heavier on that because it's the future or the anxiety, or are my boys going to have this, or am I going to be a burden to my wife, etc. And those are the things I did touch on the voice of the patient. I wanted to make sure that that part of it was heard, that this isn't just an issue that someone's dealing with right now in this moment. There are people that are just getting diagnosed that are now looking fast forward into the future, and it doesn't look so great. And I all know, and I've heard from people that maybe they were trying to cope with the news I gave them that was diagnosed in their own way, but kind of saying, well, you know, that's life. You're going to get older and things are going to hurt. And this, like almost passe, you know, just kind of, well, it's just a thing. And to some degree, it is, right? Everyone has a something, and I get that, of course. But it still doesn't make it less of a burden to carry. So for me, it's always been a tough emotional thing to deal with, and the physical just seems to fuel that. So I wanted to have my voice heard that way. And for all those that participated or were a part of it, either directly, indirectly, listened in, watched in, whatnot, thank you for that, because I think that is what we need as we, in my mind, kind of take on the FDA to say, hey, like, we matter. I feel almost a little, and you even tell it in my voice, a little bit like irritated. Like, why do we have to go through this? Like, of course it matters. These are medicines for people that are suffering. Why wouldn't it matter? So that was my take on that. So some time left here. We got about 5 minutes left of the show. If you got plenty of time to hear your voice, if you want to talk about voice of the patient or any of those things. So I will now direct my attention to Sean Welsh's question. And he says, what do you think about Cam Newton coming to the Patriots? Well, you're getting a man that has very unique style. I can say that. I think he is an expired quarterback for the style of quarterback he is. And I wish you the best with him. I'm sure you're sad to see Tom Brady go. It reminded me of the Brett Favre situation here in Packerland, when he leaves and Aaron comes in. But the difference is that the Patriots didn't have an up-and-comer, from what I can see, that was anything like Aaron Rodgers. So they kind of got themselves in a little bit of a pickle, and they kind of decided to, instead of keeping Garoppolo and letting Brady go way back then, they kept Brady, and now they're dealing with the aftermath. I think it's going to be some rough times, even with Cam Newton there. I do predict he will start the year as a starting quarterback. I just don't know how long it will last. I'm not super impressed with Cam Newton. So that's my take, Sean. What's yours? Or anybody else for that matter? Or are you just happy that some sports are coming back? Or are you apprehensive like me on that? So that's another question. If you want to answer in our closing minutes, you can. So if you are so brave, Sean Welsh, laugh out loud. So I guess that was funny. Okay. That's my sports talk segment. A couple of other things I wanted to plug is that I do have a side podcast project in the works there, innerstrengthpodcast.com. If you want to visit that, I'd appreciate it as I start trying to find more and more guests to fill that show as well. So I'm excited to be working on that project. A little bit of a labor of love and more of a hobby style, for sure. This show is not going anywhere. We, like I said, we're trying to keep up with the weeklies, and we're going to keep pivoting and try to bring in reoccurring guests a couple times a week, have a featured guest the first episode of every month, and then the last episode of the month, kind of a review of what we talked about and the people that were on, and really leave that show to be for you guys, the listeners, the watchers of the show. That's kind of what we're thinking of with format as we move forward. And as I navigate through my baseball season, which is happening, I'm a baseball coach, and it is July, so we are playing, surprisingly, here in Wisconsin, and I'm trying to hopscotch through to make sure I'm still here for you and still able to do that. So we will work through all of it. Next show, August 5th, like I've said before, Frank Hanley is going to be here from the FSHD Society chapter in South Carolina, and he's going to talk about his Qigong therapy and how he believes it has worked for him very, very well. So I'm excited to hear his take on those things. And I also wanted to kind of touch on some of the events coming up as we start to wrap up the show. Big event coming up in the San Diego Walk and Roll to Cure FSHD. That's one of the big events coming up on the 11th, which is in a week from this Saturday. The San Diego Walk and Roll to Cure FSHD. I will be on air for a couple hours helping kind of bring that community together and sending it out into the world since it's virtual. So we're excited for that. If I look at some of the details here, I believe we're going to start pretty early-ish, pretty early in the morning, about mid-morning time here central. Yeah, it looks like 10 a.m. to noon is when we're going to be on air for you guys, and we'll be sharing people walking out either in their neighborhood or at their parks. It's going to be really cool. Kind of almost see it as a pre, this is what we're going to be doing on the big walk and roll event on September 12th. Also on July 11th from 11 a.m. to 12:30 is the Colorado virtual chapter meeting. Maybe they'll be walking too and they'll send some stuff our way as an information or connection. So that's happening as well on the 11th. And that is Mountain Time, 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. So that's happening then. Another event I wanted to touch on was the Idaho chapter launch. Looks like that's exciting. From 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. July 18th at Louis Pizza and Italian Restaurant. Wow. Okay, so they're doing a face-to-face. That's pretty sweet. That's in Meridian, Idaho, so you want to reach out to them. That's the Idaho chapter at fshdsociety.org. You can RSVP. That link is out on the website right now at fshdsociety.org. Other websites to visit, like I mentioned, is Dynes. That's dyne-tx.com. That's their website. Those were our great guests representing Dyne today. It was Molly and Ramesh talking about the person and the science behind FSHD, really, and what Dyne is doing so much to help us out, delivering using ASOs and delivering mechanisms into your body, into your muscles, so that the therapies get to where they need to be. That's my explanation of it. Ramesh does a much better job. If you missed any of the episode, you can replay it here on Facebook, or you can find all the episodes on your podcast search places like Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, etc. So that'll wrap it up for today. I thank everybody for being here on this episode. We look forward to bringing you the next one hopefully in a week, so stay tuned for that. Until then, take care. God bless. You've been listening to the FSHD Society Radio Show.